Let's pray for London. Father, we want to thank you for England. We want to thank you for the great United Kingdom. We want to thank you, Father, for the incredible Christian heritage that England has produced. We want to thank you for the Wesleyan revivals in England. We want to thank you for the ministry of William and Catherine Booth. We want to thank you for the abolition of slavery that came out of England. We want to thank you for William Wilberforce. We want to thank you for the great pioneers and the mission sending mentality of the English. Thank you for Samuel Marsden, for John Williams, all coming out of England. And we bless you for our heritage, some of us white people here. We bless you for what you've done in our ancestors in the past. But, oh God, it is a very, very different day in England right now. Father, as the country is under siege, under Islamic jihad, as the country is under siege right now with the bombing in Manchester last Saturday and the bombing about an hour ago on the drive-by mowing down of people on London Bridge, all by Islamic terrorism, as the country is under siege right now, we pray in the name of Jesus over our country. We pray, Father, for the Queen and for the government on this Queen's birthday weekend. We pray, Father God, for a great move of your Spirit among the people of God in England. Thank you for the praying remnant in England, Lord. Thank you that not all of the church is backslidden. Thank you for the Methodists, the on-fire Methodists that have carried the fire of John Wesley into this day. Thank you for the Church of England. Thank you for the Archbishop. Thank you for the priests and the popes of the Catholic Church in England. And we pray now, Father, in Jesus' name, for a great moving of your Spirit, God, among your people. We pray for voices to rise up, for evangelism to spread forth. We pray for the forgiving heart of Jesus towards Muslims in England. We pray for acts of kindness. We pray for the laying down of our swords and the picking up of the cross. We pray for kindness towards the Islamic community. We pray people will be bold enough to speak about Jesus. Yes, give a cup of soup. Yes, give a piece of bread, but tell Muslims about Jesus. We pray for a great revival, a great evangelism encounter with Muslims, the clash of civilizations in England. We pray for many, many souls, disillusioned Muslims, Muslims who are not hate mongers, Muslims who are not wired towards violence. We pray for them in England right now, and we ask for a great turning, a great sickening to the pit of their stomach about Islam. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for a great move of your Spirit among Muslims in England. Father, for your glory, we pray there will be so many apostates from Islam, none of them would be killed. We pray, Father, for a great wave, a great wave. We pray the BBC would be flooded with testimonies and reports of Muslims giving their lives to Jesus. We pray for divine appearances across England right now of Isa al-Masih, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, to appear. Oh God, before your great and glorious return, we pray that you would appear, God, appear, Jesus, to Muslims across England for your glory. For your glory. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Bless you, Father. Yeah, we just pray, Father, for a national day of prayer in England. I pray it would come from the Queen. I pray, Father, for a national day of prayer and mourning. A prayer of turning. This happened in the Second World War. It happened, I think, in the First World War as well. It was kind of from the monarchy down, if you understand the monarchy. And that's not impossible. The Queen is a lover of Jesus. And so we pray for our Queen right now, the Queen of New Zealand, actually. She's also known as the Queen of New Zealand. So it's kind of rich coming from a non-royalist like me with Irish Republican sympathies, but nonetheless, Jesus can do amazing things. Lord, we pray for our Queen. Lord, we pray from the top down that we would see a national day of prayer in England, and it would be a day of fasting and prayer, and a thing where just something cracks, something turns, where the English people say, religious or not religious, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray an ending of the violence and safety in our nation. Praise God. Baruch Hashem. All right. Well, just to change tact slightly, who wasn't here Friday night who did not hear my testimony? Okay, I'm so sorry you missed it. This is the 5-second version. I used to look like that. Stop it. Now I look like that. But Jesus didn't just change the outward. He did something beautiful on the inward. And I'm not a particularly religious person, so if you were hoping for a really polite church service this morning, you came to the wrong place. I'm from a drug-related family. In fact, I walked onto the construction site the other day, and we had 5 or 6 yo boys, you know, doing a bit of electrics and plumbing. I work in construction, so I walked in with my hard hat on and my toenail boots and walked in, and they're all listening to... You know, they're all from Henderson with their hats over to the side. You know, yo, check it out. Hooking back their monsters and their Vs. And I said, boys, do you want to meet a real gangster? They went, oh, yeah, bro, who are you then? I told them my story. They were like, oh, Joyce, really? Really? Like your uncles kill people? Oh, mate. Anyway, praise God. So, that's our little family. I'll just play you a short video of the Jeremiah Trust. People have asked me about it over the weekend, so this will help tell you about it.
Welcome to the Jeremiah Trust. The Jeremiah Trust is a New Zealand-based charity formed over 10 years ago by Steve and Emma Dunn. The charity offers options to pregnant women with an unwanted pregnancy. We offer the adoption legal fees to be paid for and any and every child destined for an abortion within the shores of New Zealand. The charity also offers counselling, safe housing and first-year startup packs for women who choose to keep their children. Steve and Emma are active foster carers to many children in New Zealand. They regularly advocate for children and speak up and down the country, encouraging people to engage with the foster care and the adoption process. Steve and Emma live on the South Island of New Zealand and have 8 children. For more information about our work, please find us on Facebook or go to www.jeremiah.co.nz.
Some of our literature, and if you want to use the posters that you just saw on the screen, you can put those up in doctors, dentists, schools, churches. And if you know anybody with an unwanted pregnancy, even pregnancies where the woman has been raped or the doctors have diagnosed with a disability or Down syndrome particularly, any situation, even honor killings, those sorts of things from different ethnic minorities, please call us. That 0800 number will go to our good friends in south of Auckland, and the mobile number will go directly to my wife, and we can provide housing, first year startup packs. We can also provide the legal fees, which is about $3,000 per child for the adoption of any child in New Zealand. So we started this just over 10 years ago. There is no reason now for another abortion to take place in New Zealand, because not only have we, but many, many others in New Zealand are prepared to take children into their home that are otherwise destined for an abortion. So there's no need. This can be an abortion-free country. There's no need for there to be abortions in New Zealand, because there are a growing army of people prepared to take any child from any circumstance into their homes. So praise God for that. If you're a little bit past it and you think, oh, mate, I couldn't raise a 2-year-old, no worries, just give us all your money. All right, there you go. I just thought I'd make it clear. May as well go for the jugular while I'm at it, hadn't I? It's not money, it's finances. Okay, I'm just kidding. Anyway, just kidding. Hey, I really I would never stand up here and call myself a prophet, but I will stand up here and say I believe I have a prophetic word for not only for Full Gospel, Businessmen's Fellowship International, because I think this collective group kind of represents something bigger, and I think this is a prophetic word for the nation, but it just so happens you're here. I consider this a massive honor, Sunday morning, Pentecost Sunday, to be given this slot to speak. I don't take it lightly. And the message that I'm going to bring you this morning, I've never preached before. Yesterday's session on radical Islam is something that I've done before. I've never brought this message before. I was seeking God over what to bring at the conference, and the only message he gave me was this message. The other ones are just life themes that run through me, that in the course of teaching and preaching around the country, you tend to repeat yourself a little bit and keep bringing the life themes. This is a tailored message, you know, to this meeting here, but I believe it's a prophetic word for the nation. And I know we don't like that in New Zealand when we start talking like that, the whole tall poppy thing, and out come the demonic tall poppy cutters. Just get over it. We need to learn to recognize fivefold ministry in the body of Christ. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, according to Ephesians 4. Just get over it. If you're gifted in that one of those ministries, just go for it. And I would encourage you to, as Jesus told me many years ago, about 7 years ago, he said two very liberating words to me, and that was, be yourself. So hence the reason why you get lots of naughty jokes and silly behavior up on the pulpit, because I'm allowed to be myself. I've been given special permission by God. Okay. All right. So some of you will know who this chap is. This is Demas Shakarian. Just to give you a little bit of history, Demas is from the pioneer, really, the apostle or the bishop or the leader of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Great man of God, died in 1993. What some of you, and quite honestly, the book that's available out there, The Happiest People on Earth, is just breathtaking reading, breathtaking reading. And there is no reason why not. I see no reason why not that the same God that poured out his spirit upon Demas and challenged him and stirred him to reach so many souls, I see no reason why not that would happen again today. Regardless of age and race and who we are and what church we go to and all of those things, I see absolutely no reason why not. I don't for a moment think that Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship is a dying movement. We got a lot of bald heads and white hair in this room, and you know what? I praise God for that. I praise God for that. I also saw young gangster boys getting delivered from demons on Friday night on the floor down here. So we need mums and dads, but we also need a fresh move of God's Spirit. And Demas really carried that wherever he went. And I think it's good just to remember his legacy while we're sitting here. Someone prophesied over him once, Dr. Ham prophesied over him once. Dr. Ham was instrumental in bringing Billy Graham to Jesus. But he said that Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International is the instrument God is going to use in the last days. This is the moment, son. Don't ever look back. Well, Demas is dead. He's with Jesus now. So maybe the prophecy was just polite talking. But the prophecy is that God is going to use this group in the last days. I'm going to talk to you about the last days today. That was way back. That was 50 years ago. That was prophesied. But you see, somehow prophecy doesn't have that kind of... It has a bit of a longer lifespan than some of the food that goes out of date at Pack and Save. It kind of keeps running. It goes a little bit further than the moldy fruit and veg. It kind of can be redug and reconnected with. Do you believe that? You can actually redig it and say, God, you said it to him. I'll take it. You've said it to the prophet Joel. I'll take it. You said it through Peter in Acts chapter 2. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I'll take it. You just... connect with it, don't you? You reconnect with it. Another, Dr. Ham also said to him, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International is God's instrument to awaken laymen, the sleeping giant of evangelism. layman is an old-fashioned term. It just means church folk, just the regular guys. Imagine what New Zealand would look like, not with lots of pretty singers and preachers and prophets and poets, but imagine an army. You have no idea the rumours that go around Israel among a very tight-knit Sephardic and Sabra community and the Ashkenazi community among Israelis about New Zealand. Because of the HIP program. I've been talking to some of you about the HIP program where hosting Israeli travellers. You have no idea, man. They are tight-knit. I've grown up in a Jewish community. They are tight-knit. And they know you. Their uncles, their aunties, their brothers and sisters. Why? Because there's an army of laymen across New Zealand that love Israel. It's interesting, isn't it? How much more if we were to love Muslims, the other sons of Abraham, sons of Ishmael. Oh, there's a thing. Funny that. Thought that would come up. And interestingly, here's a bit of backstory for you about Demos. You may not know. His great-granddad was called Demos, and they're from Armenian descent. And during Armenia, which was connected under the Ottoman Islamic Empire, there was a prophecy by a young boy. You know the story. Ephraim Klukningen, or something his name was. And this young boy prophet in the 1850s prophesied that a terrible tragedy is going to come upon the Armenian people. The Armenian at the time were predominantly Christian, you know, churchgoers or born again. But this particular boy prophet warned the Armenian people they would need to flee Armenia. And even he prophesied and got a map out and said, we need to go here. And they pointed to a spot in California. And, you know, the church, the group, several thousand, I don't quite know the figures, but a large number of Armenians packed up, believed a boy, and left the country. I mean, that would be insanity, you know, in the natural, what I've just told you. This is history. This is not insanity. This is history. It was only a few decades later that Islamic jihad under the Ottoman Empire instituted the final solution on the Armenians in 19, the genocide of Armenia. 1.5 million Armenians slaughtered under Islam. And to this day, President Erdogan will not acknowledge that it was genocide. They rebuked the Pope recently because the Pope used the word genocide. He said, no, it's not genocide, it was just casualties of war. It wasn't casualties of war, it was genocide of a people group. Primarily a Christian people group. ISIS have made it very clear, we want the Christians first. Very clear, the enemies of Islam, the people of the cross, the videos that are produced are targeted towards Christians. It's interesting that warning came to the Armenians and they took it. And Demos was born in 1913, right in the midst of that kind of prophetic movement, if you like. Could it be that David Pawson, the British scholar, in his 2004 book, Islam's Challenge to Christians, Islam and the Challenge to Christians, was true in his book when he said England will become a Sharia state? Could it be? I don't know. It's a warning, though. And it's recognized by many senior leaders, men of God, women of God in England. I don't know if it's true. Could it be that the warning that I'm going to bring you this morning about the difference, the perilous times that are coming, could it be? That's the message I'm bringing, brother. And you're one of the leaders, the leader of this movement, and you've just prophesied what I'm about to preach. That PowerPoint was prepared over the last 2 weeks. I didn't just pop it on to match your prophecy. Could it be the perilous times that are coming and the glorious times that are coming? Perilous and glorious before the return of Jesus. Could it be that this is a prophecy for New Zealand? What we're bringing this morning is being confirmed between two people. We're in full agreement. We'll see. Happy Pentecost Sunday. This was long. Demos heard that the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship would be a instrument God would use, and primarily in America, but around the world. This was long before the Pulse nightclub Islamic Jihad bombing in Florida. Long before the San Bernardino Christmas party shooting by Islamic radicals. Long before he saw any of that. But it did say that in the last days, this group would be used. So in these last days, you say, Steve, are we in the last days? I'm going to give you a framework that's going to really help you from the Bible, that you're going to realize we've been in the last days for the last 2,000 years. We are in the last of the last days. And I'm not so depressed that I'm going to spend the whole session talking about the perilous nature of the last days. For those of you that don't have English as your first language, perilous is not the name of your Kiwi auntie. Perilous is, or a little town on the South Island, that's Pelorus. Perilous just means flipping scary. Okay, that's a more of a street language. Perilous. But it's perilous. I'm not just going to be flipping scary. It's perilous and glorious. And if you don't know what glorious means, that means flipping awesome. So flipping scary or flipping awesome. Perilous and glorious in the last days. I want to try and bring you a bit of balance. Because if I don't, what happens is the pendulum will swing too far one way or too far the other way. So I'm trying to build you a framework of understanding. And most of you are older than me, and there's something about grey hair. I've got some right here. Looks like I've been dipping it in the paint I've been painting, doesn't it? Something about grey hair is you realise life is bitter and it's sweet, isn't it? It's not all good in the hood. Walking with Jesus is good and bad. Jesus is good, but walking with him is good and bad. If you haven't realised that yet, you don't deserve to have a bald head, to be honest with you. Acts chapter 2. Why not turn there? You can just look at it on the screen if you need to. Acts chapter 2. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's been crucified before the Jewish community, handed over to the Romans, beaten, abused, spat upon, takes the sins of the world into his body, rises from the dead, ascends to the right hand of the Father. And he's told his scared little followers, wait in Jerusalem for the gift of my Father, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the birthday of the church, if you like. The first infusion of God to say, Jesus is alive. You know the story. The disciples went out from there and preached Jesus in the power of the Spirit. Most of them giving their blood for the cause that they believed in. And the early church, subsequently in church history after that, giving their blood for the cause that they believe in. So that one church historian, Tertullian, said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It's how we move forward by the frontline leaders. Imagine being in the early church in those early days, where all your senior leadership get taken out and martyred, and it just leaves you and the others. Suddenly someone's got to step up, but you know that you're going to step up into martyrdom. It's a bit like Saving Private Ryan, as they bring that opening scene where the brave soldiers are standing against a recognized enemy, and the trap door comes down of the amphibious machine, and the front line of soldiers are shot, leaving the second line, they're shot, leaving the third line, they're shot, and then finally the fourth line of men can go forward. Who can even comprehend that kind of bravery? Bravery or stupidity, I'm being serious, but at least fighting for a bigger cause, for the freedom of subsequent generations. Who can even comprehend that in our days of Twitter and gangster rap and Xbox and limp-wristed men who can only manage 15 hours a week work? Who can even comprehend that in our generation? We've gone soft in many ways, haven't we? There needs to be some kind of courage where the blood of the martyrs is honoured. I was so blessed to be in that meeting here. We had the room divided, didn't we? We were over here yesterday, looking at the video of the 21 Coptic Christians beheaded by ISIS and watching the response of some of the men, most of the men in this room, to say, Jesus, we give our lives to you. We lay our lives down. Some of you have realised this is serious stuff. It's the nature of prophetic ministry, friends. It will bring a now word. A now word. The Spirit is poured out. And look at what Peter says. They all thought they were drunk, which is a reasonable assumption, conclusion. When you see a bunch of people dancing around, I'm sure some of the staff at the Distinction Hotel are wondering about some of you. Shunder McGundering and could have bought a Honda. Hey? They're probably all talking about you, don't worry. All good, just smile and love them. I don't care what people think. They're not drunk as you suppose, it's only 9 a.m. But no, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Now I want you to notice something. Most of you are very familiar with this text, and I want you to look at the text carefully. He quotes, Peter does a Bible study, Peter is Jewish, and he recounts a Jewish prophet. That's an obvious thing to do to a Jewish audience. But what he does to the Jewish prophet, Joel, who was written 600 years earlier, he takes the prophecy of Joel and he changes it. And you say, where? Well, you'll have to look for yourself later, and trust me while I tell you where he changes it. But in Joel chapter 2, the original prophecy says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit. But in this prophecy, Peter retakes the prophecy and now brings it up to speed, brings it into a modern context, which is first century Judaism. And he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. Why does he do that? Because the Messiah has come. Messiah has come. The kingdom has come through the ministry of Yeshua, the Jewish rabbi. He's died, made atonement for the sins of the people, risen from the dead, and now we are entering in to the last days, Peter says. And God says, now I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. You see this reflected in 1 Thessalonians, when the Thessalonians thought that the return of Jesus was imminent, if you know your Bible. And they were right to think that, because Peter changed what the Bible said under divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and now brings the last day's prophecy, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And look at what the prophecy is. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord in that time period will be saved. So the mercy has been extended. We're in a gap. Jesus dies over here, AD 33. He's crucified. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. 40 days later, the Spirit is poured out. We are now in the last days, awaiting the return of Jesus somewhere on that timeline. Sorry, I'm not going to give you a date. I know you wanted one. I tell you what, I'll give you the date of my birthday and you can send me a nice present, all right, on my birthday. No dates. But we know this much. Back here, on that day of Pentecost, was the beginning of the last days. We know we're in it. Now, there are lots of eschatological things we could talk about. The return of the Jewish people back to the land, the rise of Islam, all of those things we could talk about. But I want to give you a framework here. I haven't got time to address all those nitty-gritty things. But the bigger picture framework is that it will be glorious days and perilous days. It's going to be flipping bad and flipping good in that lead-up to the return of Jesus. And when Jesus returns, he isn't going to kind of just, you know, smile and wave at everybody. Let's read what the Bible says when Jesus returns. For 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, this is a description of one of many descriptions of Jesus returning. Remember what it said in Acts, just there, before the coming of the great and the glorious day of the Lord. We know that it's going to be glorious, filled with glory, filled with his presence. We're not going to wonder, did Jesus return today? The Bible says every eye will see him. He's coming back, but he's going to come back and do something. Let's see what he's going to do. 2 Thessalonians. Oh, by the way, for those of you that like the Bible, I apologize for reading so much scripture. Many a New Zealand church, it's one Bible verse and an hour of opinion. True prophets would move through the scriptures, wouldn't they? Not just be constantly talking about elephants flying around the room and meeting Enoch. Let's just stay with the scriptures, shall we? Sorry for being so basic. I'm a construction worker, just like Jesus. God is just. He will. This is 2 Thessalonians 1. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Verse 8, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of God and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. Notice that Jesus, meek and mild, is going to punish people who don't know God. He's going to punish them. You say, that's not right, that's not fair. I'm pretty glad he is. I'm glad child rapists are going to be punished. I'm glad gangster rappers who have inspired violence among the black communities of America and Nigeria and South London, I'm glad they're going to be punished. In all of their arrogance, in all of their strutting in this life, I'm glad they die eternally in the next life. You say, Steve, you don't sound very loving. Well, let's just go speak to the victims, the mothers and the fathers that have wept and grieved over the loss of their sons and daughters. Let's speak to them, the mothers and fathers of the 8 and 9-year-olds from last Saturday, where little girls watching Aria Grande in concert in Manchester have been ripped to shreds with bolts and nails by so-called tough guys, 22-year-old jihadists. Let's talk to mums and dads and aunties and uncles about their loss before we write off Jesus. I know this much, his justice is right. I know this much, the window of mercy is open. I know this much, that I, one of the greatest sinners in this room, have been extended the mercy and the kindness of God, and my sins have been forgiven, and I love Jesus, and I'm looking forward to that day. Yes, I'm sorry that some of my family members won't make it. That grieves my heart. I'm sorry that some of my best friends won't make it because they don't know God. That's what it says there. That's why you see a little bit of passion in me to draw you into the arms of Jesus today so that you know him. That's why preachers have got a bit of fire in them, brothers and sisters, because there's coming judgment. You say, fire and brimstone, preacher. Mate, you haven't even heard. None of you are old enough to even know what a fire and brimstone preacher was. We've had about 60 years of limp-wristed preaching in the Western Church. Sissy, puffy preaching in the Western Church to appeal to the plastic flowers at the front and the palate of choosy, picky Christians that will go and take their tithe to another church if you don't preach nicely. Soz, it ain't going to happen here. That's what the Bible teaches. You can hate me, but you're going to have to hate Jesus as well, because the Bible says he's coming with glory. And he's coming with blazing fire. And I'm looking forward to that. And you'll know if you're saved if you're looking forward to that. You start speaking in tongues and praying with people and then start saying, come on, Jesus, it's time. You'll know if you're living for this world or the world to come. Come on, friends. We're going to see him just the way he really is. And I don't think when you see him, you're going to go, ugh. What? Is that it then? Dear friends, I think it's going to be Kadosh, 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 Adonai Elohim Sevaot. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Whoa, holy, holy. We'll stand up for a moment and then, whoa, we'll fall down again. We'll stand up for a moment. One look at him. Oh, we're going to see him. We're going to see him. That's a glorious thing. But the Bible teaches that there will be perilous times and glorious times leading up to seeing him. Does that make sense? That's my message today. Let's just flesh it out a little bit more. I'm trying to stop you from being too much one way, too much into the negative, you know, like the sort of miserable prophecy doomsayers. They tend to just focus on all the bad things that are happening in the world. Ooh, Barack Obama is the Antichrist. Donald Trump! They even thought Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist because Ronald has six letters in it. Reagan has six letters, and I think his middle name had six. Ronald Reagan, the anti... I mean... No, it wasn't. Mikhail Gorbachev, he was thought of as the Antichrist because he had the tomato juice birthmark on his head, and that was obviously the mark of the beast. The poor guy's like in an old people's home. He don't look like he's potentially going to start a new world order. You know what I mean? He looks like he might have gone past it by now. We don't want to be so, ooh. Why is it prophecy teachers are like that? Why can't they just be flipping normal? There's going to be perilous times. But we don't want to swing too much the other way. We want to balance it with what? Glorious times, right? So we don't want to be too much into the bad stuff and miss the good stuff. Does that make sense? Okay. It's like eating broccoli and ice cream. It is. It's like broccoli and ice cream. That was a perfect analogy. It must be of the spirit because I've never used that before, all right? There you go. So we also want to have ice cream. We want the glory times. But the danger is you get the camp, the theological camp now, and I'm building a theological framework for you. They're too obsessed with the glory. They're just weird. You've met them. You might be them. They're weird. You talk to them. How are you? Praise the Lord. Glory. Full of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, okay. But your children are walking away from Jesus and your wife's just been diagnosed with cancer. Can we just talk about that? No, praise the Lord. Glory, glory. Well, that's not a real world, is it? Your head is in the sand. If you can't ever talk about something negative, then what's your problem? I've been accused of being negative. It's quite funny with somebody with my sophisticated, sanctified sense of humor. that I've actually been told I'm a little bit miserable at times. Thinking you don't know me. And that was a way of stopping me talking about some of the perilous things that are coming. But if the Bible talks about it, why wouldn't I talk about it? Why wouldn't you talk about it? There are bad things happening. We're talking about it. There's also good things happening. Broccoli and ice cream. But we don't want to go too far one way or the other. So we don't want to live. What's that? That's an ostrich with its head in the sand. And that's possibly a picture of the Pentecostal Church of New Zealand. Now, we don't want to be like that. Now look, Kiwis, come on. Look, if you go to India, like the national... What's the national animal of India? What is it? Tiger, isn't it? It's a what? Oh, it's a big cow, is it? Well, Sri Lanka is a tiger, I think. What is it? What's your national... It's a lion. It's a lion. In Britain, it's a British bulldog. You know. In America, it's a bald eagle. You know. In Russia, it's a big bear. And then you've got New Zealand. A little tiny, fluffy bird that doesn't fly. And no one's ever seen a kiwi. They think they have, but they haven't really, because they hide. They don't. In fact, I question ever whether kiwis actually even exist. I've been here 13 years trying to find one. Those suckers hide. And there's a tendency, joking aside, Stewart Island, yep, thank you. There's a tendency in New Zealand, in our psyche, because we're a bit far away, is to do this. My job is to carefully and gently pull your head out of the sand. To come and taste some broccoli and some ice cream. To come and see perilous times ahead, but glorious times ahead. Does that make sense? That's the job of any prophetic ministry in the church, is to pull your head out of the sand and look up and see that your redemption is coming. So the last days are going to be perilous and they're going to be glorious. And we want to keep the light kind of in the center. So that's the framework, all right? Let's just have a look at some of the words of Paul. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4. This is where I get the word perilous from. The NIV says terrible. He says, mark this, there will be terrible or perilous times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I don't know if you heard Danny Smith. He said a lot of profound things in his sessions, but there was one thing that stuck out to me when he talked about dealing with people who had a form of godliness but denied the power to change. The grace of God, divine action to change us. Be careful who you hang around with. People who have just got sloppy agape. People who've just got easy hyper grace, where God will just love, 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 love. I've stood in pulpits on Sunday mornings at the local church I've pastored. You start talking, doing sessions on the wrath of God. People manifest all kinds of things. You will get 20 letters on Monday morning as a pastor saying, what about love? Dear Jesus, Mary, and all the angels, we've talked about the love of God for 50 years. Can we not just balance it out a bit with the wrath of God? The fury of God. We've never heard messages on this, friends. Why not have a whole series on the judgment of God? Why not? We've had so many years of love, love, love. Love, love. Nothing you can say that can be sung. Don't even know the song, I'm too young. The other versions, the ASV says this, know this, that in the last days there will be grievous times. The Message Bible says, don't be naive, difficult times ahead. NIV says, terrible times. The NLT says that the last days will be very difficult times. And the RSV says, the last days there will come times of stress. So the lead up to the return of Jesus, the ancient rabbis called it the birth pangs of the Messiah. The birthing, we know the baby's coming. There's the birth pangs, the Braxton Hicks contractions. It's coming, oh, but then it all dies down again. Okay, now they're coming again, but they're coming closer together. Oh, and then it all dies down again. Oh, it's coming again, it's coming. Now there's no let up. The birth pangs are coming, and finally what happens? A baby is born, right? The birth pangs, the shaking times before any baby is born, the return of Jesus. Some of you women are kind of wincing at me when I was talking about birth pangs, but there's obviously a lot of men are just going, whatever. So like, what, like they had a baby? Yeah, whatever. Okay, guys, this is for you now. Could you just take your bottom lip, please? I want to show you how much it hurts to have a baby. Okay, all guys, can we just get the camera on all of the guys? Hold your bottom lip like this. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hold your bottom lip. Graham. Len. I'm talking to you, Len. Yes. Yes. I know it's church and you're not supposed to do anything, but you're going to do this. Hold your bottom lip. Okay. Thank you. Okay, now I want you to feel the pain. What I want you to do, men, is, now wives, watch your husband. I want you to pull, excuse me, sir, are you rebellious for a reason? And next to you, I'm sorry, is there a problem with the instruction here? Yeah, I'm talking to you and you, you're not holding your lip. Hold your lip. You want to be singled out, you're on camera. Okay, ready? This is what it feels like, guys. Now pull, pull. Okay, you got it? Pull. Now pull. Now, quickly, quickly, pull hard and wrap it over your head. All good? Oh, look, it's a little baby. Oh, look, darling, it's a little baby. Oh, shut up. Don't give me drugs. I'm in agony. What's the matter with you, woman? What's the matter with you, woman? Just giving birth. Ah, oh, dear. Thank you. My friend Douglas, you're welcome. Just honouring all the women. This is my... Are you guys still doing okay? Yeah, all right, okay. This is my friend Douglas. He is the priest in Papatoetoe. Papatutos in Auckland. He's an Iraqi Christian, follower of Jesus. Good friend, I've spoken at his church a couple of times. Church is made up of Iraqi Christians in Papatoetoe. Great, great brother, just come over. He's just come over from his other post, which was in Erbil, which is in modern-day Kurdistan, north of Mosul. Douglas Albazi, he's a little bit younger than me. Looks a bit like Robert De Niro. We always joke about that. Lovely man of God. Go visit him. It's a beautiful church service on a Sunday morning there, beautiful, all in Aramaic, the language, possible street language of Jesus, all in kind of rhythmic liturgy, very different style to anything you've probably experienced, but it was beautiful, beautiful. Douglas was pastoring the local church in Erbil just a couple of years ago, and ISIS invaded Mosul, and within a month, 200,000 Christians had to leave Mosul, along with other minorities. All their possessions taken, they left with the shirts on their backs. Their Muslim neighbors took their houses and pushed them out of town as ISIS came in and brought Sharia. Overnight, Douglas, his church in Erbil, which is a safety region, took 18,000 families overnight. Overnight. Perilous times coming. These are followers of Jesus. These are not, they may worship Jesus a bit differently than you and me, just culturally and traditionally different, but they love Jesus. Douglas loves Jesus. So he prays the prayers just like you do. The Mosul Christians pray just like you do. And ISIS came and slaughtered many, took many children into slavery, women into slavery. Many converted, many didn't convert, many had to leave. It was just chaos. Douglas was captured before ISIS took Mosul by an Al-Qaeda affiliate. And he was blindfolded and taken to a secret location. They said, if you open your eyes, we'll kill you. They took him, locked him up for 10 days. And during that 10 days, the Islamic terrorists, the radical Muslims, they asked for counsel from him. Aboni, he's a father. They're all part of one community, remember. They were asking for marriage counseling in the day, and they were torturing him at night. They took a hammer to his face and smashed all his front teeth out. They took two disc vertebrae, smashed his discs, and took a shot at him before they captured him. They took a shot at his leg outside his church building. And he forgives them. He's my friend. There's a man of God living in New Zealand. He might be someone you bring to your church. Give him a call. He's got a story to tell. The other priest that they captured was a Canadian priest. There was a ransom on Douglas, and the Canadian church raised the money, 100,000 I think it was, Canadian dollars. The other priest had a bounty on his head. They got the money for him too. But the terrorists decided they wouldn't release him, but they did release him. But before they released him, they chopped his body into several pieces and sent the body in several pieces in boxes back to the congregation that he was pastoring. Perilous times ahead. And if Douglas was standing here today, he would say, it's no problem. We follow Jesus, we suffer. The two are connected. He's a man of God. I like heroes. They inspire me. Go meet Douglas. He's just down the road. Go knock on his door. Have a cup of tea. He makes good coffee. Let's not be too extreme, though. One way or the other. You've seen the killings, the perilous times that we're in. The Nice drive-by with the big truck. Islamic Jihad in France. You've seen the pictures coming out of Stockholm this week. This is just in the last 2 weeks, friends. The Stockholm truck killed two, I think it was. This scene was taken from Manchester Arena last Saturday night, where perilous events in England, where a nail bomb goes off, killing little girls who are going to see their favourite pop star, and mums and dads. This was the Lindt coffee shop, where the press reported in Melbourne, where the press reported that a strange flag has been held up by the hostages on the window, but we have no idea what it says. Well, what it says is, Allah, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet in Arabic. Anyone would know that. If you cared to study Islam, it's the Shahada. It's a clear message as to why the cafe was taken hostage and why people lost their lives. It's an obvious, it's kind of, there it is. But of course, we have to dumb it down in our Western media. Careful where you get your news. And the flowers came, more flowers, more disbelief from Australians, more Muslims standing up saying Islam is a religion of peace, more politicians and pundits and journalists, false prophets telling us who have no understanding of Islam whatsoever, all of a sudden become experts in Islam. Have you noticed that? This is not true Islam. No understanding. Perilous times, friends. But we want to keep it in the center. The Spirit says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. I want to encourage you to hold on. Even though it's going to get perilous, it's also going to get glorious. And I don't want one of you to be lost in this. I know I'm talking to Christians. I know there's some people here who don't know Jesus, and that's good that you've hopefully had the sin scared out of you and you fall on your knees for mercy. I hope you do. But honestly, I'm talking to Christians here, and I don't want to see you lost on that great day. I don't want to be lost on that great day. And the only way I can cope with what's coming to New Zealand is to hold on and recognize there's a chance that some of us will abandon the faith. There is a chance. It can happen and follow wrong teaching. Jesus warned of it. Watch out that you're not deceived. Many will come in my name saying, I am he. The time is near. Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, don't be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. These are Jesus' words now, friends. This is good stuff for us. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. I've only focused in on some of the bombings. We've not even talked about the ecology. Things happening that otherwise wouldn't make sense to our natural mind. These things are going to happen. But before this, they will seize you, persecute you, hand you over. Verse 16, you'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives, friends, and they will put some of you to death. When was the last time you saw that at a fridge magnet at Manor Bookshops? Imagine that. You'd know we're in last days then and we're really reading the Bible then, wouldn't you? Ah, bless you, bro. I just thought I'd wish you happy birthday with a nice fridge magnet, Ernie. There you go. Your brothers and sisters are all going to betray you and they'll probably put you to death. There you go. God bless. Can you imagine if a prophet came up lining people up in our modern churches? I believe God is saying you're going to be put to death. Yes. I believe God is saying the world will hate you because of Jesus. We would send that guy. Get that guy out of here. Oh, no, no. We want to. Lord is taking you to the next level, brother. Yes. The Lord says more money, finance, blessing in business. Please. Everyone will hate you because of me. Thank you, Jesus. I received that promise. But not a hair on your head will perish. Ooh-hoo-hoo. Stand firm and you will win life. Come on. Good and bad. There will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the earth, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, dear Christian, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That's the time to start singing, friends. When all hell is breaking loose, when New Zealand comes under an economic crash, when we experience our first Islamic jihad attacks, when the church seems to be going off into hyper grace, when homosexuality seems to be celebrated as the norm among Christian leaders. Friends, it's in those days that we say, come on, Jesus, you're coming back. He's still going to save people. The blood still cleanses. The power of the Spirit still moves in people. Marriages still can be restored. Drug addicts still get set free. Muslims still get saved. Hindus can forsake idolatry and follow Jesus. It's still worth fighting for, friends. It's going to be perilous and it's going to be glorious at the very end. But let's not fall. Let's talk about glory. This is just going to take 5 minutes. This is a baptismal service of Iranians. I work among Iranians in Auckland City. And if you want to know what God is doing in the earth at the moment, look at Iran. Ayatollah Khomeini stepped into Iran to implement Sharia during his exile in France in 1979. Stepped in, the burqas came on, Sharia came down, and the tiny, tiny little group of Christians went underground. And that tiny group of Christians, the first martyrs came, obviously. Now the number of Christians has grown in the last 40 years, exponentially grown in Iran because of spiritual hunger, and the church is still underground. They reckon conservatively it's 1.5 million followers of Jesus. Iranian Christians are getting visions of a man in a white dress appearing at the end of their bed. They say, "Who are you?" He says, "I am Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Messiah. Come, follow me." Many of them will then go to their local imam and say, "Can you tell me about Isa al-Masih?" They get a smack round the head and told to study the Quran. You can meet Iranians in Auckland City today in their 30s and 40s, PhD students, and you can go up to them and say, "Excuse me, have you had your vision of Isa al-Masih yet?" I had one taxi driver at Wild Bean Cafe, 2 a.m. in the morning. He was doing Uber. "Come on, it's funny. You keep working." I said, "You're from Iran. You're Persian, right?" He said, "How you know?" I said, "Well, just the way you talk, I could tell." He said, "Okay." I said, "Have you had your vision of Isa al-Masih yet?" He said, his face, it kind of went pale. He said, "Give me your number." I said, "Oh, okay." I gave him my card. He said, "We will talk another time. Not here." I'm waiting for the phone call. I've heard stories and stories. Nabil Qureshi has written a book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. You'll hear all kinds of stories of Iranians coming to know Jesus. My friend Mark Jury oversees a congregation in Melbourne, 100 Iranians worshipping Jesus in Farsi. I've preached there. An awesome congregation, wild people, without any Christian background whatsoever, but have come to know Jesus. I mean, there's all kinds of immorality going on, all kinds of problems, pastoral care issues, but they're saved. And many of them, when you meet them, you say, "When did you meet Jesus?" They said, "I came to Australia 4 years ago. I met Jesus 3 years ago." Because the Australians told them about Jesus. Come on. We've got an immigration crisis around the world. We've got them flooding into Auckland. Come on. We can lead them. I've sat and had Bible study after Bible study with... We've got so many Iranians wanting Bible study in Auckland City in our little group. We pastorally can't get around each one of them. That's how many it is. Join the ranks, friends. If you want to come up, join the ranks. You've heard about the Chinese church, the exponential growth in the Chinese church. Glorious things happen. Habakkuk the prophet says this. Prophets should read from the prophets. He says this, "For the earth will be filled with intimacy of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." That's where we're heading, friends. You say that's after Jesus returns. Well, it doesn't say that. I think what's going to happen is that is going to happen after Jesus returns. The glory of God all over the earth. But you know what? I reckon we're going to get a foretaste of it before he returns. There's going to be pockets. There's going to be things happening. Revival breaking out. You say, "Steve, we've been praying for revival for 40 years. Listen, the morning comes just before the darkest, darkest night. Don't quit now, dear praying person. I was involved in two revivals in my life, one in Russia and one at the Pensacola revival, and it's worth sacrificing for, friends. It's worth seeing souls saved. It's worth seeing the church grow exponentially. It's worth seeing civic leaders and schools change and universities change and people getting saved and loving Jesus. It's worth it, friends. It changes the whole socio-economic environment when revival comes. Some of you just need to hold on because the best is still yet to come. We've seen this Iranian revival. Here's my wife, Emma, with all of these women are Iranian. They would all be under a hijab. There's my daughter, Promise. But all of those women, this woman here particularly is a born-again follower of Jesus. The other women are coming to know Jesus. Some of those women, I won't point them out, but some of those women are hardened, practicing Shiite Muslims who've unveiled themselves for our meetings. I'm not going to tell you who's who in the zoo, but isn't that amazing? That's just an odd photo at someone's birthday that we took. There's hundreds upon hundreds of Muslims in Germany are rejecting Islam and converting to Christianity. Lutheran churches in Germany at the moment that have sat empty for decades, you know, like with three old people coming and having communion with the guy in the dress, you know? You know what it's like if you've been to Germany. They're packed. They're packed at the moment. There was a scene in Berlin just recently where all the Westerners are stripping off in the sun and drinking and, you know, doing their usual thing on the grass just outside the Berlin Cathedral, or a large Lutheran church in Berlin. You go into the cathedral, usually it's just a museum, you know, everyone just looks around and goes, oh yeah, look at the stained glass windows. Oh, of course, they always whisper, shh, shh, I think God's in here, shh. You walk into that cathedral now in Berlin, it's packed with Iranians. The priests think they've got their honey and jam on the same bit of toast. They're like, what? And Iranians are in your face. I want to know about Jesus. Hello. Tell me. Teach me the Bible. Teach me Bible and Jesus. I want baptism. I want baptism for whole family. We want to be saved. You say, oh no, it's just so they can get immigration status in Germany. It's not, friends. Germany doesn't put any special privileges on Christians. In fact, they are risking their lives by following Jesus under Sharia law because they've apostatized from Islam. Do you see? God is doing something, and it's happening before our very eyes. One Silas, a 25-year-old Iranian man, is one of these converts who's now living in Berlin, according to Charisma News. When asked what really prompted him to change religion, Silas said his spiritual transformation came after he read the Bible that a friend lent to him. When I started to read the Bible, it changed me. At first, I didn't want to be a Christian. I just wanted to understand it. But the more answers I got, the more I realized I was finding God. He said, then he realized Islam was a big lie. And there's the baptism. Isn't that great? I want to play you just a 2-minute video, if you don't mind. These are I'm part of a mission agency called FIRE, and it's a great name, Fellowship of International Revival and Evangelism. Great name for a mission agency. This mission agency was birthed out of the Pensacola revival in Brownsville, and we've got maybe 200 missionaries around the world. We've just taken our first martyrs. A father of three in one Middle Eastern country. The whole village came out to protest against the killing of one of our students, one of our missionaries, and immediately a young family took the place in that Middle Eastern country. The wife came back with her children, has remarried, but another missionary has stepped up. Here you go, this is what most Baptist pastors should do. I was a registered Baptist pastor. 3 points and a poem, here you go, 3 points. There's going to be perilous and glorious times. Point number one, short. Keep short accounts with God. Point number two, meet with each other. Point number three, greet other people. There you go. There's your message. I could do it in 20 minutes, 20 seconds. Point number one, guys, keep short accounts with God. If there's sin in your life, repent. Get right with God. If you're watching things and doing things Jesus would never do, come on. Turn away from it now. Now's the time to turn away. Now's the time just to get right with God. Keep a short account. Point number two, meet together. Don't matter what the label is, for God's sake, meet together. Don't stop meeting together. Don't become a website cyber Christian. That's weird. That's weird. Just like it's weird having a website cyber wife, it's weird to have a website cyber Christian. You know what I'm saying? Meet together. Only has to be 3 or 4 of you. Just chill out. Meet together. Speak in tongues. Encourage one another. Pray. Get involved in a local prayer group. Submit to a local pastor. Be involved. Meet together and then greet. I would encourage you to, if you're working, get a pay rise. Be so godly, your boss gives you a pay rise, and then don't raise your standard of living. Just use the extra money to buy flat whites for people in your area. I know it didn't sound very spiritual, but for goodness sake, pay for the flat white when you take out your non-Christian friend. Love them, pay for them, buy extra food at Pack and Save, and open your home and greet people. Be nice. Be nice. That was simple enough, wasn't it? Yeah. Last days. There you go. Major prophetic teaching. Short, meet, and greet. Write it down. Father, bless us as we think about these things. Bless us as we keep short accounts with you. Bless us as we continue to meet together, hastening your return. Whoa, bless us as we greet people who don't know Jesus. Whoa. Bless us, Father, we pray. Let your Spirit be poured out upon us, we pray, as we honor you in this place. Just stand to your feet. Hold on a second. Don't stand. Just hold on a second. We're just finished here now, but let's just hold on a second. Something's not done. We bless you, Lord. So a short, small altar call would be, and I'll get you to stand to this, if you don't mind. Not all of you sit down. I haven't given the altar call yet. The response is, I think primarily to women here, sit down, Stephen, messing about. We will have order in the house of God, brother. God's order though, right? I think this is for women. There's women in this room who, especially with Muslim evangelism, you actually are the only ones able to meet about 70% of the Muslim world, because women have to meet with women and children, men meet with men. So it's about 70%. About 70%. So some of the women in here, I just want to pray for you. Would you stand, women, if you just sense today, flip, I've been sleeping on this issue, but Holy Spirit actually lit something in you, especially regarding reaching non-Christian women. And especially, obviously, we've been talking about immigration and Muslims and that kind of thing. But something just flickered in you. You say, it's been asleep for some time. I've been known as a fiery evangelist, but there's someone here, someone's here, but it's kind of gone dead. Maybe you've stuff's happened. Stuff does happen. Maybe you've gone through menopause, the loss of children, hurt in the church. Welcome to the Hurt in the Church Facebook page. You can like that one. We've all been hurt. We haven't all gone through menopause, but you understand my point. I'm stopping messing around. You understand my point. Something kind of dropped off. Something kind of in your spirit life went quiet. Would you stand to your feet if there feels like a fire has been rekindled in you today? Just whoever that is. Doesn't matter if it's just one person. Just stand. I want to pray for you. So for the females, thank you, sister. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Any more? Advance on 7. Going 8, 9. There you go. Lord, we pray for our sisters. 10, and my sister at the back. God bless you. I see that hand. That's good. Wheelchairs can stand too. Don't worry. You just stand. That's it. I'm standing on the inside. That's it. That's good for you. 2 hands. That's it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sorry for my insensitivity. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for our sisters right now, and we pray. Would you, husbands, if you're around your wife who's standing, or friends, would you just lay hands on these dear ones? Just make sure somebody's praying for them. Lord, we pray now for that fire to become a flame. We pray for that flicker to become a raging fire of evangelism in my sisters right now. We pray that you'd give them divine encounters this week. Meeting immigrants, meeting Muslims, meeting untouchable women. I pray, Father, you would break their heart with the things that break your heart. Lord, we're sorry for being indifferent. We're sorry for being apathetic. And we ask now that you would use us. Send us. Now, for other ladies in the room, you're already in the field of battle. I can sense that. Would you stand, please? You're already engaged in this, ladies. Let's pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, for our sisters right now. Now, husbands, just lay hands on your wives or sisters that are around you. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray blessing. We pray for a fire of evangelism to come out of this men's fellowship from the women that we have never, ever witnessed before. We pray for the nurturing, compassionate, mother's heart of God to come through our sisters in evangelism. We thank you for them. Just make sure every single person's being prayed for. Every person's got someone laying hands on them right now. Father, let your spirit come. Let your spirit come. Let your spirit come. That's it. Let your spirit come. Bless them in Jesus' name. My sister there, that's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon them. That's it. Just receive, Lord, we receive commissioning right now to go into the harvest. Give me a vision, Jesus. Just ask him. Just say, God, you've got to take my heart out of myself and use that in the community. God, use me. I'm available. Don't try and work out what you've got to do. Just be available. Just be like Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 6. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Hineni. Hineni. In Hebrew. Hineni. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'm available. That's it. Just be available. No special gifting. It's not required. You're already gifted. You're a woman. You're fine. Just the way you are. That's it. Just stand. Say, God. Just enjoy yourself. Women, can you just do this, please? Just say, I am a woman. And that's okay. Sorry, we're in days of gender confusion, guys. We just need to get it clear. So don't worry about special gifting. You're like multi-gifted. All of yous. Just enjoy the ride of being a woman. I'm a woman. That's okay. And I'm available for Jesus. There you go. That's a good prayer. Lord, I'm a woman. That's okay, and I'm available to you right now. Come to him. Just hold your empty hands out. There you go. That's what you're offering. Nothing. Excellent. Yourself. That's it. Just offer nothing but yourself. Lord, bless the women, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.